Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our merciful Father, we thank you for the joy and privilege of coming here to worship and praise you. We praise you for your great love that you've shown in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that through baptism, you have united us with Christ in his death and resurrection, so that we can live together with you as your children, both now and forever. Receive our worship and praise, and keep us as your dear children by faith forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our hymns and our order of service are found printed in your bulletin. We begin our worship with our first hymn, Spread the Reign of God the Lord. Please rise. We follow our order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins before God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. we justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Help us as your redeemed and baptized children to be your witnesses to all people, that they may share with us the blessings of your eternal kingdom of heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is a responsive reading of selected verses of Psalm 18 that begins on page 5 in your bulletin. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. And I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today is from Galatians chapter 3. We'll read verses 26 through 29. Glory to you, O Lord. These words, inspired by God through the Apostle Paul, remind us that when we are baptized into Christ, we are clothed in Christ. His righteousness covers us, and God sees Jesus' righteousness when he looks at us. Paul writes, "In fact, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Indeed, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is not Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one and the same in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise." Here ends our second reading. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia.
Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism, for we are all born into this world sinful. We inherit our sinful nature from our parents, and because of our sins, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus took away our sins by giving his life for us on the cross. At our baptism, he connects us with his death and resurrection. He clothes us with his robe of righteousness and gives to us a new life. We are no longer controlled by our sinful nature, but by Jesus. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we hear these words regarding baptism from the Word of God. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Vincent and Natalie, by the power of God's word, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in Christ is yours. Now in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of his salvation, of your salvation. That you may now give a testimony of your faith, I therefore ask you, do you believe that you were born sinful and therefore in need of God's forgiveness and salvation? If so, answer by saying, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer by saying, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that God gives you the forgiveness of sins in holy baptism by connecting you to the death and resurrection of your Savior, Jesus Christ? If so, answer by saying, Yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you therefore desire to be baptized? If so, answer by saying, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Vincent Maximilian Lang, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Natalie Eva Lang, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven you all your sins. By your baptism, you are sealed as a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Amen. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of baptism by which you offer and give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. We ask you, Lord, to look with special favor upon Vincent and Natalie and give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit. They may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in his saving name we pray. Amen. Let's please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, into whose name Vincent and Natalie have just been baptized. We'll do so with the Apostles' Creed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, All Christians Who Have Been Baptized. Thank you. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow children of God. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This, of course, is known as the Great Commission. It's also where Jesus gave the institution of baptism. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the introduction to our Vacation Bible School this past week, I asked our students, who comes to mind when you think of someone who was sent out on a mission? And I showed them several pictures of several possible answers. Maybe you'd think of a super spy, like some of the spies in the Mission Impossible movie series. Maybe you think of a secret agent, like James Bond. Or maybe you think of soldiers sent out on military missions. I also made the point that sometimes the person who is sent on a mission is someone you might not expect. Our Vacation Bible School is, of course, focused on people sent on a very different type of mission than the ones that I mentioned in the introduction. Not top secret spy missions or military operations, but missions to spread the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. So the theme of our Vacation Bible School this past week was missionaries of Christ. And yes, it did include some people who we wouldn't have expected to be missionaries, including the very first one that we looked at on Monday, which was the Apostle Paul. He was a very unexpected missionary because he was at first a violent persecutor of Christians. But he was converted by Christ to become the greatest missionary of all time. We also made the point that all of us, as believers in Christ, are missionaries of Christ. That might be unexpected also, because some of our students who were there with us were only 3 years old, 4 years old. So yes, even the youngest among us, the 3 and 4 year olds, up to the oldest among us, are called by Christ to be his missionaries. You see a picture of the cover of our workbooks for the week from the Vacation Bible School in the bulletin at the sermon point in the bulletin or on your printed copies of the sermon. And you'll notice on those books it has the list of the 5 missionaries we learned about: Paul, Philip, Stephen, Peter, and Lydia. And there is a blank line on each children's workbook where you're supposed to put your name, because you too are a missionary of Christ. A good reminder to them and to us that you are a missionary. But what if you weren't at Vacation Bible School this past week? Is it still true that you are a missionary of Christ? Absolutely. How can we say that with such certainty? Well, it's because Jesus gave us and all believers our mission. He gave us our mission when he spoke the words of the Great Commission in our text, when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." In other words, Jesus is telling us that he wants his believers, his followers, which is what the word disciple means, he wants his disciples to go out and make more followers, to make more disciples of Jesus. How was that done? Well, Jesus doesn't give us a how-to manual here at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, but he does tell us the means by which we are to make disciples. He says we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. A reference, of course, to all of Jesus' words, the Word of God. In other words, Jesus is telling us to use what we call the means of grace, the tools God gives us, or the instruments God gives us to give us His grace. That is the gospel, in the Word and in the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The gospel is what converts hearts, what saves souls, changes minds, and makes disciples of Jesus. And those means, those tools of God's grace, are what Jesus gives us and calls us to use. So what exactly is the gospel? You hear that word used quite often in church, I'm sure. What is the gospel? Well, literally that word means good news. And it refers to the good news that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to live the perfect life that we could not live, to keep all of God's laws perfectly for us, to die that innocent death on the cross to pay for every single one of our sins, and then to rise again victoriously on that third day to give us the assurance of our own resurrection and the guarantee of life eternal in heaven with him forever. So let me ask you, how have we been doing at using these tools, these instruments of salvation, these instruments of God's grace that he's given us to use? Have we been sharing this good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus as much as we could have, as much as we should have? Yeah, maybe. Some days, yes. But often we must admit that we haven't always used them like we should. And I think far too often when we think of sharing the good news or the gospel of Jesus, we think about going overseas to do mission work. Last summer I had the opportunity to go and do mission work in some of the countries in Africa. Does that mean that before last summer I had never done mission work before? I was never a missionary for Jesus? When you put it that way, it sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Some of us have had the opportunities to go overseas and share the Word of God with people from different countries. Some of us have not. And some of us never will. Can we still do mission work? The answer is, of course we can. First of all, we can support the efforts of our missionaries through our prayers and our offerings. We can always do that. Secondly, we need to think about mission work, first of all, as a local thing, as where we live, the immediate area around us. If you know from the first chapter of Acts, one of the other great commissions Jesus gave to his disciples, he gave them instructions as to where they were to preach and teach. And notice what he says in the first chapter of Acts. He says, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus was telling them to start locally, Jerusalem, the city they lived in, to spread out to the regions around them, Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Jesus tells us to do the same thing. He has put us in the city you're in the neighborhood you live in the house you're in the job and the school you're in for a very important and specific purpose. He wants to use you as a witness to the people in your sphere of life. And in your sphere of life, it may be very different than your neighbors or another family members. You might reach people that they cannot reach, and they might reach people that you cannot reach. Think about our personal evangelism to the people that we meet and come across each day, the people that we know in our local area. Do we make efforts to tell them about Jesus and the salvation that he's won for them? And if not, we need to ask the question, why not? Well, we can come up with a million excuses in our heads and our hearts. Maybe we're not very good with words. Maybe we're not an eloquent preacher. Maybe we can't preach the gospel like the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, or the Apostle Peter, who once preached sermons to thousands of people, and thousands of people were converted after he spoke those words of the gospel. Maybe you just plain don't know what to say. There was a great line that we were reminded of, and we reminded the children of a number of times this past week in the hymn that we're about to sing. It's the hymn the children learned during Vacation Bible School. In the second verse of that hymn, it says, "If you cannot preach, or if you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say, He died for all." It really is that simple. You can tell the love of Jesus. You can say simply, He died for all. You don't need to know how to preach a sermon. You don't have to write a textbook on evangelism to be a missionary for Christ. Even just memorizing a few Bible passages that are very short and clear explanations of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus, is a good place to start. Romans 5:8 is a good example of this. Just learning this passage and using it when you're telling others about Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Or think of probably the most well-known gospel passage of all time. You might even already have this one memorized. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simple, clear, concise, good news gospel passages that you can share with someone when you don't know what to say. At the very least, we can always invite people to come to church to know more about Jesus, to worship Him, and learn more about what He's done for them and the salvation He's won for them. Take it upon yourself each week as you see empty pews next to you or in front of you to invite someone to fill that pew or that empty seat, to come and hear about Jesus. You can always tell people, not just with your words, but also, as we were reminded this past week, we can do so with our actions. If you're not good with words, remember, people are also watching what you do. Our actions can be a great and powerful testimony to the love of Jesus as well. Obviously, words need to be there, but our actions also speak very loudly. One of the unexpected missionaries we learned about this past week was the last one, the one on Friday. It was a woman named Lydia. Lydia wasn't a trained missionary by trade. She was actually a seller of purple cloth, which was a very valuable and very sought-after dye and material at that time because it was the color of royalty. When she heard Paul preach the gospel message in her town, we're told that the Lord opened up her heart, and she believed, and she was baptized. And apparently she shared that message with her whole household because they also believed, and they were baptized. And we're told that Lydia then showed her faith by persuading Paul and his missionary companions to stay with her, and she helped provide for them and care for them while they were there in her region. She used her wealth and her resources to help support other missionaries of Christ to spread the gospel. That's also very important work when it comes to mission work. And those are all things that we can do as well. In fact, we have a very good example of it here today. A father and a mother bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children, bringing them to hear and learn more about their Savior in our school and in our church, and then bringing them here to be baptized today. Can you think of someone close to you that you can share the love of Jesus with? Maybe it is a family member, or a coworker, or a classmate, or a close friend. Maybe it's just someone you see every week randomly at the grocery store. There's one cashier in particular that I always see when I go to the grocery store, and she knows I'm a pastor, so she'll ask me questions about what the sermon's about, and I get to kind of talk with her, and you know, if there's people in line behind, they're probably also listening. We can share the news of Christ with people even at the grocery store. Try and think specifically of one person this week in your life that you would like to share Jesus' word with, and pray for that person. Pray that the Lord would bring that person to faith through his saving word, and pray that the Lord would give you the courage, the strength, and the words to say to be the one to bring them the gospel. Pray for them and make efforts not just to witness to them, but to show them Jesus' love by your acts of kindness. Show them how much you care, and maybe also just invite them to come with you to church. You know that most people who end up becoming members of a congregation or come to church at all are because someone invited them. Not many people show up to church because of an advertisement or because of a billboard. They come because they were invited by a friend or a neighbor. You are a missionary. That's a fact. Jesus has made you one by bringing you to faith and by giving you your mission, the Great Commission. What a blessed privilege. What a great thought. We are missionaries. But what a daunting task at the same time. Left to ourselves, we could not hope to begin to keep it. That's why Jesus gives us more than a great commission in our text. Whenever I read this text, I always remind the readers that or the people listening to the sermon or remind myself that this is more than just a great commission. It also contains a great promise. Jesus fills us with confidence when he reminds us, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I don't know about you, but I tend to skip over that verse for some reason when I'm reading this one. It kind of just goes by. Then we get to the commission part. But think of what Jesus is saying in that verse and why he says that in this context. Why does he remind us that he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth? He's reminding you that he is in control. Nothing in heaven or on earth can keep Jesus from carrying out his will. And he wants to carry out his will through us, through you and me. If Jesus is for us, if he is on our side, who can stand against us? The answer, of course, is no one. Jesus also fills us with comfort and strength to open our mouths to witness him and confess him even before a world that is hostile, filled with darkness and opposition to him. This is one of the lessons we learned this week when we studied the account of Stephen, the man after whom our church and our school is named. Stephen faithfully preached God's word in the face of opposition and even pleaded for the forgiveness of the men who were stoning him to death because he was preaching about Jesus. And what a powerful reminder we have here in our church of that comforting promise of God in the last book of the Bible. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We have Jesus' own words of assurance in verse 20 of our text, in the last verse of the Great Commission. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with you, and he is with you always. His promises are yours. You are a missionary of Christ. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service with our next hymn. This is the hymn the children learned for a vacation Bible school this past week, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. Please rise. In our prayers today, we'll give prayers of thanksgiving to the Lord for the successful vacation Bible school we had this past week. We had 16 total children come for at least one day. We praise the Lord for giving us an opportunity to bring them the Word of God. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Oh, sorry. Yes.
My dad was...
We'll pray for his healing and his treatment. Thank you, Julian. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give you thanks for the Vacation Bible School you gave us last week, for answering our prayers for students, and we pray that you would cause your word to grow in their hearts so that these young children always remember you as their God and Savior, and may they always remember that they are your missionaries called to share your love and your gospel wherever they go. Keep them in your loving care, that they always know you as their loving Father, who will always work everything out for their good. Dear Jesus, you are the heavenly physician, the healer of our bodies and our souls. We come to you on behalf of Julian's father, who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. We pray that you'd be with him in this troubling time, that you'd give him strength, and if it's your will, Lord, give him healing. Above all, Lord, help him to draw closer to you in this time of trial, strengthening his faith in you and helping him to lean on you as his Savior, knowing that even if this life ends, we have life eternal with you in heaven. Please comfort and be with him and his family as they are praying for him and supporting him in every way they can. Dear Jesus, our merciful Savior, we come to you in prayer for those who do not yet know you or whose faith in you is weak and fading. We pray for the people that we know, our family members and friends, our co-workers and fellow students, for the people of our communities and the people we meet every day. Work in us mightily, Lord, through your strength to share with them your love by our actions and to share your salvation by our words. Fill our hearts with love and concern for the souls of our fellow human beings so that we will overflow with your love and simply not be able to keep to ourselves this wonderful good news of forgiveness and eternal life in you. Dear Lord, you have promised to hear our prayers, and you have told us in your word that it is your will that no one perish, but that all come to repentance, faith, and salvation. Therefore, we confidently ask that you would use us as your witnesses to not only bring others to our fold here at St. Stephen, but more importantly, to bring others into the fold of your heavenly kingdom through faith in you. Help us to see ourselves as your missionaries, because that is what you have made us by faith and called us to be in your word. Give us courage, give us strength and love to carry out your great commission. You've given that commission to each one of us, dear Jesus. In your saving name, we pray these things as we pray now in your name, the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. We close our service today with our closing hymn, On Galilee's High Mountain, and I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We also welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ from our East Bay congregation in Hayward. We are always privileged to have a joint service with you, and we are blessed to have you here. Please sign our guest book in the entryway if you would, and please come and join us for worship again in the near future. Following our service today, we'll be having our church picnic at De Anza Park. The address is listed for you in the bulletin. Please do feel free to change into more comfortable clothes if you'd like to go to the picnic with us today. We will also be celebrating, of course, the baptism of Vincent and Natalie with a cake. That's what we do as Lutherans. We celebrate with food and cake when we have special occasions like this and blessed times like this. So please join us if you are able. There will be no worship service in Hayward today. It will resume next Sunday at 1 p.m. This week, I have worship services in Stockton at Oakmont Senior Living. It will be at 2 p.m., and then I visit with our folks at Forever Easter House in Sacramento at 4:30 on Tuesday for worship and visits there. Next Sunday, we'll be having our worship service here with communion at 10 a.m. There is no Bible class next Sunday because next Sunday we'll be heading to the Ontario area for our worship and Bible study next Sunday evening at 6:30. Hayward worship will be at 1 p.m. with communion as well next Sunday. Please check your mailboxes and the entryway table if you'd like to have a calendar for August for our church calendar. You can find a copy there. I mentioned briefly, several times in the service actually, about our Vacation Bible School this past week. I'd like to give a big thank you to everyone who helped in any way with the Vacation Bible School. This is the largest group we've had since the pandemic. So 2019 and 18, I think we had 20, maybe 22 children. We had 16 total this time. And the last couple years we've had 9, 12. When you have 16 or 15 or more, you realize how much you appreciate having lots of hands on deck and all the different things that went into everything from planning to teaching to registration table work to making snacks and food for us. We really do appreciate everyone who helped out, and we thank the Lord for everyone who was involved this past week. It really was a blessed time. Any other announcements for today? Yes. Oh, yes. There are some things that still need to be hauled to the church picnic. They're in the church kitchen, kind of in the serving area. If you have room in your vehicle to take some of those items to the church picnic, I don't think any of them are very heavy. Is that correct? They're just kind of bulky. So if you would grab some of those items and take them to the picnic area, we'd be very appreciative of that. Yes, Leslie.
I just want to take this opportunity, since so many people are here, to be sure and remind everyone about Education Sunday on August 20th, installation of our new teacher, Isaac Schmidt, and after the service and the installation, we are actually having a reception for Isaac and Michaela, so please join us.
And I thought that was supposed to be a surprise, so I did not put it on the church calendar, so it's not a surprise anymore. So yes, August 20th, it will be in the bulletins. Okay, all right. I was mistaken. We'll have a reception for them after the service on the 20th. And I think, if I remember correctly, Isaac's family is also joining us for that. Okay, wonderful. And then the last Sunday of next month, we'll be having our mission festival with missionary Todd Ullman will be coming to speak and present about some of our mission work around the world in the CLC. So a big month ahead of us, as well as the start of school in just a couple of weeks. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I will invite our newly baptized children to come and greet you at the entryway with me.